The modern observance of Memorial Day has its roots in the Civil War, which began 150 years ago this year. Two dozen cities and towns claim to be the place where families and organized women's groups began the tradition of decorating the graves of those killed in what is still the country's bloodiest war. More than 600,000 Americans died in 4 years of fighting between the Union in the North, the Confederacy in the South, and that profoundly influenced how Americans mourn. Lorraine Umfleet is artifacts collector for the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources. She's got another project going. Every day for the next 4 years, she's going to be tweeting from actual Civil War diaries and letters. We want to ask her about all of this as she joins us from the studios of WUNC in Durham, North Carolina. Lorraine, welcome.
Thank you.
And talk to us about how Civil War widows, largely widows, mourned. As many as one out of every four Confederate soldiers was killed in the Civil War. So how did that impact? I mean, it had to impact just, for instance, how much mourning there was.
Well, in North Carolina, it varied according to the time of the war that they were mourning. Early in the war, women had access to the crepe and the wool and all the things that they needed to make a mourning outfit. But as the war progressed and the blockade prevented the influx of supplies and money shortages also were a problem, women just weren't able to have the outward symbols of mourning as much as they were earlier in the war.
Yeah, so they had to scramble to get fabric. And of course, you know, very, very serious subject in some ways. But all we could think of when we heard this, of course, was Gone with the Wind and, you know, using curtains to make a dress. And then, of course, Carol Burnett spoofed that. But they were literally scrambling trying to get this fabric.
Yes. Women pulled out their looms and spinning wheels that their grandmothers had used and began to make their own cloth. And many times we read articles and letters where ladies are taking existing dresses and dyeing them black to accommodate their mourning needs.
In fact, I think it's you that had a great quote from someone in the time saying how the whole town smelled of dye pots.
Yes.
Because everybody
yes.
was dyeing their clothing.
Well, they are.
And this idea of wearing all black had been sort of set down as a standard just a couple of years before the war in 1859 by Queen Victoria of England.
Right, right. Her husband passed away and she began her mourning. She never left her mourning clothes behind. Many women, after a year and a day, they could start adding colors to their dresses, but Queen Victoria never did.
What is the year and the day? How did that be, you know, that you could add lace or you could add a little gray or violet? How did that get determined?
That was a fashion dictate. Godey's Ladies Magazine and some of the other fashion novels and things of the day sort of indicated, well, this is what we've decided you need to do.
Right.
Is to mourn with all black for a year and a day, and then after that you can start adding colors. Younger women needed to start adding colors faster than older women because they needed to find a new husband, and black isn't always the most becoming color.
And there was a lot of death.
Yes, yes. I have a quote that will be tweeted later this year. I'm trying to tweet chronologically. And in November, December of this year, a soldier died in camp as a result of typhoid fever, and his brother prepared the body to be returned home for burial, and he gives explicit instructions to his family about opening the casket and letting Ma see the remains because they know she will want to look on his face one last time. So there was a lot going on as far as mourning and death and facing death.
Including widows scouring some of what are now famous Civil War battlefield sites to find the remains of their husbands,
yes.
brothers, sons. Very, very, very sad. But you mentioned the tweet. Just tell us about your tweeting project. What are you tweeting? Because you can only do 140 characters.
That's right. That's about a sentence if you're lucky. But the tweets are 140 characters from a larger entry, whether it's a letter or a diary or a newspaper article. And we have a companion blog that's been set up that has the entire citation. So you get the teaser in the tweet, and then you go to the blog for the full context.
Give us an example.
One of the ones that came out early that everybody really appreciated was that Sister Frances is a terrible Unionist. That was the tweet. And the larger diary entry was from Catherine Devereaux Edmonston, who is a highly dedicated secessionist, and she was very upset that her sister was pro-Union in April 1861. later changed to be much more of a Confederate, but early on, Sister Frances was a terrible Unionist.
Well, but lest anyone think that this is all celebration of the Confederacy, it's not. Some of the tweets will be of North Carolinians who were supporters of the Union war effort heroically, and their stories haven't been told.
That's true. That's true. North Carolina, in some areas, had as many pro-Union folks as they did Confederates, and some counties had as many Union soldiers as it did Confederate soldiers. And as the war progresses and their narrative starts to come out, that will find its way into the blog and the Twitter feed. I already have some entries from some WPA slave narratives about slaves observing the beginning of the war, and also from Elizabeth Keckley, who was seamstress to Mary Todd Lincoln. She was a former slave from Hillsborough, North Carolina. And from Harriet Jacobs, who was an escaped slave from North Carolina, too. It's just a really interesting set of snapshots about what was pulling women in so many different directions in the 1861 period.
And seeing the sort of arc. It begins with sort of a celebration of war, but of course, as we know, it ends in one of the bloodiest conquests ever.
And we had, I get comments in the blog and the tweets, and one comment was, "I want so much to reach back 150 years and speak to this woman. Please don't stop writing. We live generations in the future, but your pain is ours. We are afraid for you. Your cause will fail, but your country will succeed." And that's just a really interesting commentary that I like to point out.
Lorraine Umfleet, again, artifacts collector for the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources, also a reenactor, and we understand you portray a Civil War era lady in mourning, a black dress, I'm assuming?
Yes, sometimes I do wear everything from the veil to the hoop skirts and everything underneath with a corset to portray what it was like for women to mourn the passing of loved ones.
What does that feel like to put that on?
Hot. There's 8 layers of clothes and the top layer is black. But it's sobering when you go to a memorial service and you are there in all black and you listen to some of the words that were read 150 years ago at similar services and think about the losses that were sustained. It's very, very sobering.
Lori, thank you.
You're welcome.